Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Wherever you are, thanks for joining us on the journey today.
We welcome all of our listeners today, and we're so glad you could be with us. This is a new month, and we want to kick off a new theme for this month. Well, we are in the direct path of the eclipse, and there's just been a whole bunch of hype and excitement about that. People have come from all over the world to be part of this. It's just been something that we haven't seen in a long time. We were in a partial eclipse a few years ago, but this was total darkness for a few minutes. There's been T-shirts sold. There's been just all kinds of things. Hotels supposedly have raised their prices 400% just to house all the people. Traffic has been a mess. And it's kind of a neat thing. And so from that, we want to kind of spin off and talk about a new series based upon the eclipse. We want to talk about when the world goes dark, lessons from the eclipse. And we're going to kind of layer this through this month and talk about different things along that line. But Jason, let's just kind of begin with that. What are some thoughts coming to your mind?
Yeah. I mean, schools are already, they've notified us weeks ago that kids are going to be staying at home. Roger, both you and I are supposed to preach this coming Monday night in other places, and both of us are more than a little worried about traffic because we've been notified, of course, that, well, you can expect gridlock in miles every which way. I don't quite know what to expect, but I do know, of course, that this is going to be hopefully a spectacular afternoon. I'm a little worried that it's going to be cloudy and, you know, it'll just get really dark. So hopefully the clouds will part and we'll have a clear view of this incredible thing. From what I understand in this part of the world, it won't happen again until long after both of us are dead. And so this is our last shot in this part of the world for a total eclipse.
Absolutely. And so from that, let's just kind of talk about some times in the Bible where we've seen darkness. We've kind of sketched out several of them. And the first one that comes to our mind is one of the plagues we read about with Israel in Egypt back in the book of Exodus, chapter 10. And so we're going to talk about the plague where darkness filled the land. We'll read this text here in just a minute and just kind of go through and explain some things about this and learn some lessons about this. I think there's a neat thing to do when you kind of look at events in your current time and go back and look at in the Bible times and make some parallels and applications we can learn from those things.
Yeah, this is the ninth plague. And of course, they are coming as God has sent Moses down to Egypt and sent him with a message, right? He expects Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the face of the earth at that time, who is enslaving the descendants of Abraham, he expects Pharaoh to let them go. And Moses has delivered that message. Pharaoh has a very hard heart. And so we read about water being turned to blood and frogs, gnats, flies, the death of livestock, terrible boils on people's skin, hail, locusts, and now plague number nine is darkness. Roger, you want to read this text for us?
I will. Let's begin in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 29. Exodus 10, 21 through 29. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt." So Moses stretched out his hands toward the sky, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you." But Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore, our livestock too will go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know what we shall know that what we will serve the Lord. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Beware, do not let me see your face again, for in the day you see my face, you shall die." So Moses said, "All right, or you are right, I will never see your face again."
Yeah.
And so let's talk about this. First of all, how do we know that this just wasn't an eclipse like we have, we're going to have here in Indiana?
Well, as I understand it, that total eclipse is going to last above us for about 4 minutes. And what we're being told here, verse 22, this lasted for 3 days. This is not a normal celestial event, right? Where a moon passes between a planet and the sun. Not only does it last for 3 days, there are so many incredible things here. To me, Roger, one of the most incredible things is that the Egyptians are experiencing pitch darkness while the Israelites have light where they lived. This is not a typical event.
And where Israel lived would have been where?
In the land of Goshen. But we're not talking about on the other side of the world. We're not talking about, you know, a great distance away. It was right here in Egypt, and something supernatural in the true sense of the world is going on here.
It's kind of like when there's a power outage and you look across the street and the neighbor's got their lights on, but you don't. And there's this darkness there. You know, let's begin with this thought here. As we have worked through these plagues we see here, this is the ninth plague. There's been hail, there's been locusts, there's been boils, there's been all kinds of things. I think to me the most incredible one's frogs. That would have about done me in, I think, you know. I
mean, only thing worse would have been snakes,
oh,
right?
Oh, no. There'd have been no more Roger after that. But just that. So why do you think darkness?
Yeah. Well, I can only speculate. This, I want to be loud and clear. This is my speculation, but I would suggest it is not just a physical phenomena, but it is the culmination of the darkness that Pharaoh insists on living in, and the darkness that he has ushered this nation into. We might talk a little bit more about it toward the end, but Pharaoh says to Moses at the end of this, "Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again, for on the day that you see my face, you shall die." And Moses tells Pharaoh, "As you say, I will not see your face again." You know, these other plagues, you get the sense there's this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, where Moses is going to have another conversation with Pharaoh. There are going to be further confrontations. But I get the sense here that the hardness of heart is as hard as it's ever going to be. Pharaoh absolutely refuses. He embraces the darkness, and it's kind of like God saying, "Okay, if you refuse to step into the light or allow the light to pierce this and humble you and compel you to do what I'm telling you to do, if you want darkness, I'll give you darkness."
There's also a thought that all these plagues were a direct strike at the different gods that the Egyptians worshiped. The Egyptians were polytheistic, means they had multiple gods. They worshiped the Nile, so the Nile becomes blood, becomes useless. It's like he's killed the Nile.
Yeah.
They worshiped crops, and so hail comes down and destroys the crops. And so all of these seem to be like that. And it's thought that the Egyptians worshiped the sun.
Yeah.
And so God makes the sun dark, not just for a moment, but for 3 days. And it's like he has just now crippled your God. Who is the God of all gods? Jehovah is. Who does what no one else can do? Jehovah does. Their gods could not do anything about this. And so it is like one plague after another plague. They keep getting more intense and more direct. And it's just showing that the Egyptians are becoming powerless. There's nothing that they can do. There's no way they could stop this from happening. And they were simply at the mercy of God to do those things. Now, as this begins in verse 21, there's just an interesting little expression. And as you read your Bible, it's easy if you read too quickly to skip some of these things. But as this is introduced to us in verse 21, God tells Moses to stretch his hand toward the sky, that there be darkness over the land of Egypt, even the darkness which may be felt.
Yeah.
Now, that's just kind of interesting. What do we mean by a felt darkness?
Well, I would say it's kind of interesting and kind of creepy. The closest thing that I know to relate it to, in this part of the country, we have all sorts of caverns, right? There are Indiana caverns all over the place. I think my first experience of this was probably a little south of here at Mammoth Cave, where, you know, you're led by a guide and there are artificial lights all over the place, right? There is electricity that has been run down into these caves, but there is simply nothing like going, let's say, a mile underground, and then those guides telling you, okay, everybody stand still, don't move, we're going to turn the lights off. And literally, in a moment, you experience, I mean, something that those of us who can see with our physical eyes have never experienced before. You can put your hand in front of your face, an inch away from your eyes, and you can see nothing. It is the most humbling, terrifying feeling that most of us go through to imagine, okay, what if I was left here? Can you imagine that going on for 3 solid days?
And we also know the opposite of this. You know, you get up on a bright sunny day, you open up your blinds or your curtains, you let that sunshine in. Or sometimes you've been in a room that's air conditioned and you're a little bit cold. You go out and you sit in this and you feel the sunshine. You feel the warmth. I get the idea from this that it's just this coldness and it's just this emptiness. I mean, you could be standing right beside somebody and you wouldn't even see it. And that's kind of creepy, as you say. And again, it's so hard for us to imagine that, because the first thing we do is grab our cell phones and hit that flashlight app and we can see. They didn't have that. And they didn't have lights you could flip on. And so that total darkness, you couldn't go outside your house because you're going to step on something. You can't see a thing. And so I think that's the idea of that being felt, as it's kind of considered by that. Now, what impact would that have had for 3 days?
That is hard for me to imagine. I mean, it would just be a paralyzing experience. We were talking a moment ago about traffic and, you know, okay, not knowing exactly how we're going to be able to get around in leading up to this natural phenomena and what comes after it. But I just cannot imagine suddenly everything going dark. And Roger, like you mentioned, okay, every once in a while, especially this time of year, we lose electricity. We might chuckle about it. It might even be fun for a little while, right? But we fully expect that, all right, the lights are going to come back on. The air conditioning is going to come back on. Everything is going to get completely back to normal. But for things to go, not just things, but for the world, for these people to go dark and not to know how long it's going to last. Is it ever going to get light again? Like you said, this is not the first of the plagues. And so for these people to be so beaten down by all of these pests, and then hail to come and destroy all of the plants and crops, and then locusts to come and eat what was left over, and then to have this intense darkness. I mean, the only word that comes to my mind is paralyzed. I would be paralyzed for 3 days.
I think there'd be great fear. Here in Indiana, psychologists have this syndrome where we go from like November to March, it's just gloomy every day, and we sometimes think the sun has gone away. Now it's not total darkness, but that has an impact upon a lot of people. Their moods are affected. A lot of people just go south to get in the sunshine because this is gloominess. It's just heavy. Well, imagine that to a greater degree is total darkness. It's going to have a psychological effect upon you. The animals are not going to do well. It doesn't take very long, and crops are what plants or crops there are, they're going to start withering because they need sunshine. Our own bodies get a sense of energy from the sun, and so that total darkness is going to have a paralyzing, as you said, just a paralyzing impact upon people. They're going to be fearful. Crime is committed more at dark than it is at light. And so we can just, everyone's being depressed and everyone's being discouraged, and just, the complaints are going to be going to Pharaoh, do something. Yeah. Their Egyptian priests are be praying their hearts out, making sacrifices to the sun, and nothing's being done. And so they're just feel like this is the end, and we cannot do anything about that. And I think that's just a devastating impact. We're not told why. There's a lot of coincidences in our Bible, but 3 days is interesting, isn't it, Jason?
It is. I mean, we have just reflected, of course, this past Sunday on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and being brought from darkness to light. 3 days, I mean, when the Bible mentions numbers like that, a lot of times it's not the only time we run across that. 40, for instance, or 12. There are lots of instances where 12 and 40 are used, but to think about Jesus being the light of the world, as he describes himself in John chapter 8, and then to be in a tomb from Friday to early Sunday morning, and then something happening on the third day. I appreciate you bringing that out. It's just a curious thing to tuck in the back of your mind.
Well, and I also think about Jonah.
Oh, yeah.
3 days. And that, and we can have that little Disney image of Pinocchio in that boat, and he has a little light in there, but I do not think it was like that at all. Yeah. And if you can imagine being inside a giant fish or whale, whatever that was, for 3 days, it's total darkness. And that animal swimming wherever it's swimming, you cannot see which direction you're going. You're just it's like being on a roller coaster in total darkness. I've done that before, never again. up and down, all around, and so it's significant. I don't think that's just coincidence that we have those 3 days. I think that's an impact it's going to have upon them. It leaves Pharaoh angry. He's willing to let the people go, but keep the animals, and Moses will not relent. He will not compromise on this. This is not a negotiation here. We're not, you give me your best offer, I'm going to counter with another offer. The God of heaven says, let us go, including our animals. And if you will not do that, then this is not going to happen. And so we see that kind of back and forth with those things there.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like here at the end, one of the things we need to pivot into is, all right, interesting story, especially in light of, in a couple of days, this very brief eclipse that we're going to experience. This clearly wasn't an eclipse. God was doing something in this ninth of tenth plagues. But what does this really have to do with me in 2024? What sort of connections do you think we can draw?
Well, one of the first ones is the power of God. God is the creator. He is God. So in Matthew, he refers to, he sends his son upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He refers to it as his son.
Yeah.
God controls the universe, the sun, the universe, the planets. All those are beyond us. We cannot control things. We cannot control the weather. God can. And there are occasions in the Bible when God caused shadows to move backwards. There's times when God stopped the sun. There's times when God made total darkness upon the sun. And so things are just beyond us. God is not. And so if God is more powerful than those things that we cannot control, cannot God control maybe some troubles I'm facing? Maybe I have a troubled marriage. Maybe I have an addiction. Maybe there's things in my life that I think, you know, that's just the way it's going to have to be because I cannot do anything about this. Take it to God, who's more powerful than anything we know. And I think that's one of the great lessons I get from that.
Yeah. The other thing that stands out to me is how sad it is when someone completely shuts the door on submission to God. We know that there are these interesting phrases about Pharaoh hardening his heart, the Lord hardening Pharaoh's heart. I believe, and we've talked in other episodes of this podcast, I believe that Pharaoh had the choice, that the Lord, of course, knew what Pharaoh was going to do. God is sovereign over all, but I do believe that he gave Pharaoh the choice to relent. But to hear Pharaoh say to Moses, "Get away from me, get out of my sight, I never want to see you again." In a lot of ways, it reminds me of the ways that so many of the Jewish authorities were so blind, in the dark, during the days of Jesus. Here just this past Sunday in our survey of John's Gospel, we walked through John chapter 11, and there have been so many signs, to the point that the Pharisees even use that word. It is clear that Jesus is able to use these signs, and he has gotten the attention of many people. In John chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. And we've got scribes and Pharisees who say, okay, now we've got two people to kill. We got to kill Lazarus and we've got to kill Jesus. And you just talk about, I mean, being in the dark with a hard heart. Jesus is the light of the world. But for someone who loves the darkness more than they love the light, boy, the Bible is just full of these sad cases. And they are case studies to show us that one day people will have to stand before this same all-powerful God and will have to answer for their refusal to open their hearts to
God. You
know,
and running through this, I think, is Pharaoh's pride.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been dark for 3 days. Your whole nation's complaining to you. You're unable to do anything. Your priests, your gods are worthless. When Moses walks into him and say, now it's time to let the people go, how he could have fallen to his knees and say, your God is the God.
Yeah.
You know, I have been wrong and I want to worship your God. And, you know, we're going to turn things around right here. Maybe you don't even have to go. We're going to elevate you. We're going to elevate your God. But no. Just get out of my face. I never want to see you again. I'm going to die in my darkness. And, you know, that just shows that the depth that pride and arrogance will take a person if they're not careful.
That's exactly right. When the world goes dark, We certainly encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. Like I said, we hope on Monday that the sky's clear and there aren't clouds in the sky, and we are able to enjoy this amazing natural phenomena. I would really encourage you, encourage parents to use this as an opportunity. You know, we seeing here and there about God's power and how creation all around us is praising God. Use this as an opportunity to draw attention to just how awesome our God is. But for our purposes, we've got three more lessons where we will talk in this series about when the world goes dark. Roger, I appreciate you joining me today to kick this series off. And of course, we express appreciation to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.